Thank you very kindly. Good morning. It is 8:32. Brett Busby in for Steve Lindell, who's on assignment in Uganda now. And I've always wanted to say that as a reporter, but now I can say it and mean it for real. So nonetheless, I think he's here on U.S. soil. We have online with us 6th District Congressman Greg Pence. Good morning, Mr. Congressman.
Good morning, Brett. Uganda.
Uganda, believe it or not. You didn't know this was coming up either, did you?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah. All right. I couldn't imagine Steve not sharing that with you.
Well, not only that, but there was a visa problem, Brett. And, you know, so your listeners know, one of the things the congressional office can do is help with visa problems. And so we got involved a couple weeks ago, and I'm happy to say we got him over to Uganda. Do we want him to come back? That's the question.
That is the question. I think there's somebody named Nancy around here who would like for him to come back.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
I don't know. You might put a resolution forth while you're at work and see how the vote goes.
Ban his reentry. Okay.
Congressman Pence, this is you're in your final year of serving in this capacity, but you're not taking your foot off the accelerator.
No, I'm not, and thanks for saying that. That's important to me, you know, to finish strong, kind of finish like you went in. The funny thing is, I like to tell people, you know, most people when they change jobs, they give 2 to maybe 3 or 4 weeks notice. I had to give a 1 year notice, but I still want to do the job, so we're hitting it hard.
Well, and indeed you are. On the agenda, I've been studying some of the things that you've been doing here, and one of the things that you've been tending to right now is wanting to overturn the minimum staffing rule. Could you explain to us a little bit what that looks like and what your intent is?
Yeah, it's almost a little redundant to your listeners. They've heard me say this before, Brett, that I've been working real hard on this nursing shortage. I've introduced bills, and also right now we're introducing a congressional comment about the Biden administration's requiring nursing homes to have a lot more nurses in them, and while that sounds great, and more is always better. The problem is there aren't any nurses out there to hire. There is a shortage in doctor's offices, hospitals, administrators, doctors, nurses, everywhere. And the mandate that you have to have more nurses in a nursing home means there will be more empty beds, or in some cases, closing some nursing homes. So that's coming up this week, and probably in 2 weeks will come to the floor.
And what do you see as possibly a solution to helping put at least a Band-Aid on that?
Yeah, I'm on a community college board, and we have a nursing program. I think, you know, kind of paying a little more attention to training more nurses. That's a shortage in the education system. In a lot of cases, the pay for nursing instructors isn't adequate to attract instructors, because a nurse can make more money and manage their time better out practicing their trade, and we need to take a look at that formula. You know, I know of programs that have twice as many applicants as they can actually train. That seems like a no-brainer. That seems like a pretty good business model, and so incentivizing and motivating academia to train more nurses would be a good idea.
All right. Well, thank you for that, and we look forward to hearing the progress on that, Mr. Congressman. You had a conversation recently with EPA Administrator Reagan, apparently, about the, and I'm terrible at acronyms, it looks like ERIN program, and I've been trying to research this, and I can't come up with it.
Well, you can't, Brett. It's way deep in the weeds. It goes to my energy background. I talked to Reagan about two things. One is I don't want him to close. They're trying to force closing coal plants, and I talked again, as I have many times, and I have with him before, about both the Madison, but more importantly, the Richmond, Indiana coal plant, that when it got below zero, here in Indiana, they fired that up, and we had the heat. We were able to heat our homes when the demand went through the roof for electricity for heating. The eRINs are, the EPA is, I'll keep this real simple, they are discussing requiring manufacturing and ag to use clean energy, or they will have to buy credits. And I'm keeping this very, very simple. And while I talked to him last summer about this, I brought it up again. And if you go to pence.house.gov, you can see my conversation. I didn't get in a fight with him because I want him to carefully consider the impact that requiring companies or farmers or small businesses to have to buy credits if they're not able to buy clean electricity or clean energy, and what an impact that would have. And it's kind of a Wall Street play. It would be something that Wall Street could trade and make money on, and he understood it. And so, again, I brought that back to the forefront. This is something they really are considering and really have been considering. It's what we used to call years ago, discussions were about a carbon tax. And we want to avoid that, especially manufacturing and ag here in the state of Indiana.
Yeah, I remember hearing that terminology. Appreciate that explanation as well. And once again, we jump back to healthcare. You have been involved in a subcommittee speaking in favor of ensuring senior access to quality care. And of course, right now, the headlines take on senior care and child care are both very important. But right now, this topic, you're involved with ensuring senior access to quality care, and it's passing through the subcommittee.
It is, and maybe let me explain. So we marked up 23 bills last week that has to do with quality care, both for drugs, delivering drugs, the distribution chain, nursing homes, different types of treatment, expediting Medicaid, Medicare payments. A markup, Brett, for the listeners, is when a committee negotiates, discuss, debates a bill in the committee, not on the floor, and then markup means we vote on it. And in this health subcommittee, we addressed elder care and all the facets around that, and we voted on 23 bills, of which 21 were 100% bipartisan. Everybody voted yes. On two of them, they both passed, but it was split between Democrats and Republicans. There were some differences that the Democrats didn't agree with. But that's the kind of stuff that we do in Congress you don't hear about. And get some things done. Then the bill goes from a subcommittee to a committee where it will be voted on again for all the members of the Energy and Commerce Committee. And then if it passes out of the committee, then you see debates on the House floor, and it goes to the floor if the Speaker allows it to go to the floor. So, and that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of time to get bills in regular order, as I just described, to the House floor.
When you have that kind of cooperation that you just spoke of with the bipartisan 100% vote going through, is that an indicator of how it may look on the floor as well?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Brett. If we try to get a bill in a subcommittee that is bipartisan, so when it goes to the floor, it'll signal to the other, call it 400 members, that, hey, there's no problems with this bill. That's one of the little things that help a bill pass. Now, of course, it always doesn't shake out that way. But in energy and commerce, we are more bipartisan. And there's a couple of committees that don't do a lot of fighting like you see on TV. TV is good theater, right? But in Ways and Means and Energy and Commerce, where most of the bills have to go through, most of the bills are bipartisan so that we get something done in Congress.
8:42, if you're listening live on WMUN, Delaware County Today, we're speaking with 6th District Congressman Greg Pence. Mr. Congressman, this past week, of course, an observation nationally, and Indiana was no different, recognizing police officers who have given sacrifice in service to Hoosiers as well as citizens of the other states in our nation. And it was National Police Week, and I know that in D.C. there is a special commemorative stone that a lot of people visit to see the names that they wish they didn't have to see. But you also took part in recognizing those officers this week.
I did. I stood with, participated in a press conference. There were about 15 of us. About eight of them were Congress people had been in law enforcement officers, and they spoke. I just wanted to show support, planted a flag. And we put out some stuff. I've always been 100% law supportive of law enforcement. Became even more so in when people put them down. But I think that's coming back, Brett. I think people have become more and more appreciative of the sacrifice that they make, and certainly we'll call it the Gold Star families and the sacrifice they had to make. But I'll always be and always have been supportive of law enforcement.
Well, and that's much appreciated, I know, by those families who are surviving, those that did give. And of course, Indiana's no different. In the past couple of years, we've seen officers leave us because of casualties in the line of duty. So thank you for your support on behalf of the Thin Blue Line. Next up, you met with Bosma Enterprises and expressed some appreciation for blind and visually impaired. Let's hear about that, if you will.
Yeah, Bosma Enterprises, in Indianapolis there for a long time, 100 years, 75 years, I kind of forget, have hired visually impaired and blind people and give them jobs. It's a phenomenal program. I've been there. I'm going to go back there either next week or in the next couple of weeks and just keep pushing and promoting that organization for what they do for blind and visually impaired people. And it's just amazing. They teach them how to live independently. Not only do they give them jobs, but they help them be self-sufficient. And, what that does for their soul, for their mental health is wonderful. I get to meet just saints all the time, Brett, people that are out there doing good for other people just because they want to do good. And Bosma Enterprises is an example.
Well, we sure could use more initiatives like that. Great to hear that. Appreciate your bringing that up to us this morning. Now, looking ahead, you're going to be participating in a hearing in a subcommittee on green building policies.
Yeah, Brett, so I go back to D.C. tomorrow and then just for a few days this week. But there's a move by the administration to actually require homeowners and property owners to make their facilities more energy efficient, green. You've heard of get rid of Freon for air conditioners. You've heard about no gas water heaters, no gas stoves. Now, these are things that aren't happening, but what we're going to do in this hearing is discuss the practicality and affordability of forcing people to make these changes before they need to make the changes. I mean, if you want to upgrade your windows because they're old, like mine, my house is 60 years old. I don't have double pane in all. But I'm warm or cool. So we're going to hold a hearing and see what comes out of a hearing. I don't know. I don't have any preconceived notions going into a hearing. The purpose of a hearing is to find out what's going on from the experts, and that's what we're going to do this week.
Well, and that's interesting because at the Busby House this past year or so, we had an air conditioner that wasn't keeping up, and the HVAC people came out and said, oh, you're low on Freon. I said, oh, great, can you put more in? The answer was no, we can't get it anymore. So that's an interesting interesting angle. I'll look forward to hearing more on that. I'm sure that you'll be updating Steve Lindell when you're on with him the next few times.
Will do.
All right, so as we head towards the holiday weekend, any special plans attending the 500 or having a cookout?
You bet. You bet. I go and I sit with my grandkids and my kids, and hopefully we don't bake. That's all I have to say.
That's a
I always get excited to go.
That's a good place to get it done. If you want to get look like a lobster, you can do it there. But great to hear. I'm glad to hear that you have the opportunity to spend some time with family during that indeed. Congressman, thank you for all that you do on behalf of constituents in Indiana.
All right. Thank you, Brett. And if anybody needs any help, they could always contact us at pence.house.gov.